Good morning, River of Life. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I'm glad you joined us today. And thanks for tuning in on Facebook and on YouTube. And we are going to get started this morning with our message. And I hope you got your PowerPoint outline. I posted them on the website, and I also sent them out via email, so hopefully you got that. Greetings this morning, and thanks for joining us. I'm Dr. Janet Cook, and Leonard and I give you warm greetings today. And so we're going to pray and get going into the Word of God. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your presence today. We thank you for bringing everything together, Lord, and working all things together for our good. God, because we're called according to your purpose, as we open up your word today, Father, may the spirit of revelation and wisdom rest upon us today, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. So we're going to continue our soul care series, and we are studying about confidence, and the question we ask today is your confidence showing? Now, we've learned that our confidence is connected with our words. So what we are saying portrays the measure of confidence that we have on the inside of us, because confidence is more than a feeling. We've come through this Passover season, and we're getting on the other side of that, and we're looking forward to our season of Pentecost. And as most of us realize, this is the most literal Passover that I've ever experienced in my lifetime and the world has ever experienced since the children of Israel experienced the first Passover. But we were all shut in our homes with our families. And just like the children of Israel, there was a plague upon the world. And so when they came out of their being shut in, if you study that in Exodus, read about the children of Israel, you know, they were so thankful for everything God had brought them through, but it didn't take them long to forget how God had blessed them and helped them. And pretty soon they were complaining to Moses, and they said, you know, we should have just stayed in Egypt. You just brought us out here into the wilderness, and we're not going to make it. And they went on and on and on. Well, sometimes it can feel like that when we're in a wilderness experience ourselves. And that's where we find ourselves right now. It's learning how to maneuver and how to work and just go through this transition season that we're in. It feels like we're in transition. And I'm thankful that this is the last Sunday that you won't be out here sitting in the seats of River of Life. And so we're in this transition season, and we have to be careful not to complain. Our confidence is measured by the words that we speak. And it was tough for them. But I loved Moses' response. Because you know the Egyptians' army was after the children of Israel, and they come up against the Red Sea and they had nowhere to go. It looked like there was no way out. It looked like there was no way whatsoever. And they were afraid. And so Moses, his confidence shown, his confidence in God. This is what he said in Exodus 14, verses 13 and 14. And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." And so Moses' confidence was showing because he knew that God would deliver them and they would see the salvation of the Lord. And I want to encourage you today, regardless of what we've been through, we know that God is going to see us through. We don't have to fear because it is God who fights our battles for us. And he literally destroyed the Egyptians. They never saw them again. So a confidence building block. And as I was studying this morning, God told me to highlight some things in this passage. But what the enemy meant for evil, God will work out for good. That is a confidence building block. You remember the story of Joseph. His brothers threw him in the ditch, sold him to slavery. And what the enemy meant for evil in Genesis 50:20, when it was all said and done and his brothers were standing with him, he said to them, "What you meant for evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day to save many people alive." So whatever we're going through, we know that what the enemy means to use to destroy us, God can turn it around. And I believe the enemy meant to destroy us with this coronavirus by coming against the whole world. We know this disease came from the enemy. It did not come from God. God did not send this plague upon us, but the disease came, the coronavirus, from the enemy. And what the enemy meant to do was to destroy us, to shut us up, to shut us down. And we even see that by, okay, now we're supposed to wear masks over our face. And I'm not saying don't wear a mask, but I'm just saying that in the natural realm, the devil wants to muffle your words. He wants to muzzle you and he wants to keep the church quiet. But we're not going to be quiet. We're not going to stand back and not proclaim the goodness of the Lord. For what the enemy meant for evil, God is turning it around. We've had all this time to spend with God. We have been shut in our homes and had this time. Even though you continue to work, you have to admit, life really slowed down. And things just came to a steady pace. And it allowed us to do a lot of reflection and praying and getting in God's presence. And we are coming out of this stronger than we have ever been before. There is a shift that is going on in the church across the world. And what the enemy thought he would use to wipe us out and take us off this planet, God is going to turn that around for good. That's where my confidence is. And I hope your confidence is there too. Because you know, Jesus Christ came into the world to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8 says this, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." So Jesus Christ fulfills his purpose by destroying the works of the devil. He took his authority away from him. And you know what? He gave authority to us. He's given us all authority over all the power of the enemy. And so a confidence builder that God is going to turn it all around for our good. Let's take a look at Romans 8:27 and 28, scripture that we're very familiar with. But once again, it's a confidence builder. All things work together for good. And let's read that. It says, "Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose." Each one of us are called according to the purpose of God. And God is fulfilling his purpose in us. And he's fulfilling his purpose in the earth today. Just a reminder, I want to remind you of what the word confidence means in the Greek. In the Greek word, it's in the Strong's, it's G3954. And it's pronounced paresia. And the Greek word means all outspokenness, frankness, bluntness, publicity, by implication, assurance, boldness of speech, confidence, freely, openly, plainly. And it comes from the root word to say, to command, or to speak. So my question again, is your confidence showing? And let's go to Hebrews 4:16. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So where do you go in your time of need? What are your first thoughts? In our time of need, God is saying, have confidence that we can come to Him. Just when the problems are the greatest, when you feel like you're getting pressed down and the pressure is so strong and the stress feels like you're going to crack and break and have a meltdown, God says, come to me. He extends this invitation. You know, we could be like the children of Israel and sit and complain about it, sit and talk about it, and call up the neighbors and gripe about it, or gripe about it at work, or however you try to vent all of this out. But the Lord says, don't vent that. Watch your mouth, what you're saying. In your time of need, have confidence, be outspoken, be bold about what I have promised you. And instead of looking at all of the problems and the difficult situation, come to my throne of grace. Because at the throne of grace, I extend grace that goes way beyond your ability. It goes way beyond what you could do for yourself. It's much greater than the strength that you have within you. It's my throne of grace. At my throne of grace, I give you what you do not deserve. I help you when you really don't deserve to be helped. And I'm not judging you, but I'm extending my grace to you if you'll just come to my throne. Have confidence in what I want to do in your life and approach me. Approach my throne with confidence. Another building block. We're not limited to what our efforts can accomplish for us. You see, that's the grace of God. When we go to God at the throne of grace, He accomplishes in us what we cannot do for ourselves. We see that from the very beginning of our salvation. We couldn't do anything to get rid of the sin or to be set free from the curse of death that was upon us. But Jesus Christ, He paid the price for us, and we have this confidence that by His grace, by His blood, by His sacrifice, we have been healed, delivered, and set free. You know, we were in this Passover season, and the children of Israel, when they were shut away from the death angel, they put the blood of the lamb on their doorposts. And we put the blood on our doors, and we put the blood over our families, and we put the blood on the doors of this nation. And forbid the coronavirus to spread. Look at how weak the coronavirus is when you look at how many have been taken by it. It's not what they said it was. And it is because we have exercised what we're supposed to do, but overall, if it had not been for God, if it had not been for the prayers of the saints, if it had not been for praying people all over this world, the enemy would have wiped us out. But I thank God that He is greater than the coronavirus, and that invisible enemy is not invisible to my God. Let's go to Matthew 18, 19, and 20. It says, again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. It's important that we have somebody that we're praying with. It's important that we are believing God together. The scripture we just read about coming to the throne of grace, it said, let us. There are things that we do together. There's a corporate anointing. When two or three are gathered in my name, we approach that throne of grace and we receive mercy. We receive mercy in our time of need. God's mercy is great compassion. And you know, when we come together and we pray together and we agree upon something in this earth, we can trust God that He hears our prayer and He's moving on our behalf. Even when we don't see it, we know God is moving. He's the way maker. And He is the one we pray to. He's the one we go to in our time of need, because He is the one that has the power and the authority to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. He can move heaven and earth to accomplish His purpose for you. And if God has promised it, then God will perform what He has said that He would do. That is the confidence that we need to hold fast to. And let's look at Hebrews 3, 5, and 6. You know, we were talking about the children of Israel and how they complained and how Moses, being a leader, having confidence in God, we could tell by the words that he spoke. And the Bible talks about him in the New Testament, and it says, and Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Hold on to your confidence in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Hold on to your confidence in the house of God. We are His house. We are His church. He is the head of the house. And the scripture says if we hold fast, we don't let go of our confidence. We just don't let our words fly. We just don't say anything we want to say. We don't let all of our feelings and emotions just throw out all of this language. No, we hold close and hold fast our confidence that is in God. And we speak what God tells us to speak. And we hold on to that hope. And through it all, God will work all things together for good. Because what the enemy meant for evil, God turns it all around. I'm going to read just a few more scriptures in this chapter of Hebrews. I'm going to go on with 7 through 11. It says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Because the children of Israel continued to go astray in the wilderness, they continued to complain about everything, God caused them not to enter into the rest that He had planned for them. You see, when we hear the voice of the Lord and we ignore it, our heart can become hard. The children of Israel heard the voice of the Lord. They knew what they were supposed to do, but they chose to go astray. They chose to do what they wanted to do instead of what God wanted them to do. And come on, let's admit it. We all struggle with that. We want to do what we want to do when we want to do it. And so having someone in authority tell me I cannot do that, then, you know, the 65-year-olds and older, they said, should stay home from church. Well, some 65-year-olds and older should need stay home from church if they have a compromised immune system, and so should some that are younger than 65 stay home if they have a compromised immune system or if they're not feeling well. But I said, don't lump me into some big lump, because I'm not so sure who would preach on Sunday morning. And I don't plan to stay home. I haven't stayed home yet. I've been to the grocery store almost every day. I always go get my Starbucks. And, you know, we're doing fine. And so I think as we go here and there, we want to exercise precautions. We don't want to take chances. The scripture says, don't tempt the Lord your God. We are not tempting in any way, but we are going about the Father's business. And so next week we're going to take a look at chapter 4 in the book of Acts, because they were going about their Father's business and they tried to stop them from doing what they were doing. But anyway, we're going to get into that next week. I was going to teach it this week, but it's way too much. And so I don't want to hold you all afternoon. So let's go on and read verse 12. It says, beware, brethren, lest there be any of you, in any of you, an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. And so another confidence building block is hearing God's voice. When you hear God's voice, that gives you the strength, the assurance, the confidence to do what you are supposed to do, even when you face opposition and somebody else is trying to make you do something else. Or even when your own flesh rises up and wants to do something else, you can use the voice of the Lord and remind yourself, no, I'm not doing that. That's not who I am. No, I'm not going there. But listening to the voice of the Lord today, if you'll hear my voice, today, if we'll hear his voice, our hearts will stay tender before him. It's kind of like when you have a relationship with someone, and if you keep ignoring them and they're talking to you and you just keep pushing them away, or you say harsh things to them, or you just tell them to shut up, you don't want to hear from them, pretty soon their heart gets hard towards you. Well, it can be the same thing when God is constantly talking to us, constantly trying to encourage us, direct our paths, and we just refuse to hear his voice, our hearts can get hard. And then we end up doing what we think we need to do. So a confidence builder is hearing God's voice. And as I close this message today, I just want to encourage anyone who has not received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You see, there's a call of salvation that the scripture says goes out to everyone. Everyone is born in sin, and everyone at some point in their life is given an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Romans 10, 9, and 11 says, if you confess with your mouth, once again, our words are involved in our salvation. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe it in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. So if you will acknowledge that you have sinned and you want forgiveness, the Lord Jesus Christ will forgive your sins. And you can ask Him into your heart to be your Lord and Savior. And I encourage everyone, even if you have prayed that prayer, that today you rededicate your life to Jesus Christ. This is a new day. We are entering into a new season, and we give our lives to Jesus Christ in a fresh and new way today. And 1 John 5:13 says, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." So today I encourage you, if you haven't accepted the Lord as your Savior, do that today. This is an amazing time and season that we are in. This is a time of transition as we're moving into Pentecost. Pentecost Sunday is coming up the end of May, and we are excited. Many of the prophets are saying that just as we had a literal Passover, we are going to have a literal Pentecost with the pouring out of the Spirit of the living God. And we are fasting, we are praying, and we are anticipating that the Lord God Almighty will pour out His Spirit across this world. And we thank God for the time that we are in. And we want to sing a song as we are getting ready to close. And that song is Good, Good Father. And I'm going to ask the praise team if they'll come back up on stage so that we can sing that song before we have our final remarks. But as they're coming, I just want to pray over everyone listening to this and everyone who will listen to this, that Lord God, we ask you, O Lord, to soften our hearts, Lord. We ask you to help us to hear your voice clearly. We ask you, God, to forgive us of our sins as we come before you to your throne of grace today. Lord, we thank you that whatever the need is, whatever anyone's need is today, God, you know what that need is, and you are able to supply according to your riches and glory. Lord, you have whatever we have need of. You don't lack anything. And so, God, I pray, Father, Lord, that you just bless each person, Lord, and strengthen them today. Draw them closer to you, God. And I thank you, Lord. Someone needs to hear that they are called according to God's purpose. You know, it doesn't matter how far off you've strayed from the path. It's just you need to remember that God is calling you today, and you're called according to His purpose. He has a work for His church to do, and you are an important part of the body of Christ. You see, the body can't function without all of its parts. It's limping around and struggling. But I encourage you, connect with the church, get involved with some place that loves God, that prays and that believes that God is releasing and pouring out His Spirit in these last days. And so, Father, we just thank you, Lord God. Bless us, encourage us. And Lord, as we sing this song, I pray you'll touch people's hearts that you are a good, good Father.